where we will take you in an in-depth look at the Word of God. Let's tune in as Evangelist Wonder Bell takes you further into the Word of God.
We're going to talk about this part of the lesson right now. And it's in Hebrews 2 and verse 3 is actually the title of our lesson. If we neglect such great a salvation, we're not going to escape. But I'm going to read verse 1 through 3 so to give you a little better understanding. And verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Pay attention, saints. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, talking about the disciples. Well, we need to pay close attention to these three verses. You know, the writer starts off by warning us how the church should seriously pay attention to what's being said for fear that the word might pass from their mind and from their memory and from their conscience. See, that's what the word will do. When we don't pay attention and we just listen and we go on about our business, it leaves our mind. And we're not supposed to let it leave our mind. We're supposed to keep that word in our mind until it becomes a part of us. And we're not going to escape. We're not going to escape the things that have been set there. We're not going to escape those things. Because, let me tell you something. We're not going to escape. Because God has warned us. In these three verses, he warned us, you know, that we need to give the most earnest heed to those things which are said in these verses. And so that we won't let it slip. That they won't slip our mind. You know. And he said, he told us that those things that the angels did, and we all know that those fallen angels, they went with Satan. And those angels are still now in chains right now, ready for the justice of God to take place at the ends of the earth. So they're going to receive a just recompense for what they did. They're going to receive whatever punishment God have for them for disobedience. They're going to receive that. So don't think we're going to come out and not going to get it. We're going to get the same punishment. If we hold on to that disobedient spirit and don't give up and ask God to forgive us before it's too late. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, it says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or provided for, or supplied unto all good works. See, that's what the scriptures are given to us for. So that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Furnished means provided for, thoroughly provided for, or supplied unto all good works. You're supposed to have the supply to do all good works. God has provided everything for you so that you could do all the good works that he called you to do. Saints of God, we need to understand the scriptures. For this reason, leadership must pay serious attention to the entire Bible because it's God's instructions to us. We can't skip over chapters or verses that we don't like. We can't omit any, and we certainly can't add anything to the word. We have to eat the whole loaf. Amen? We have to eat the whole loaf. The church is seriously underfed. Many Much of the real work is omitted, and it's not even talked about in the church. That's why when I come before you with the Word of God, there will be scriptures and verses to go back over so that you can understand what's being said. I've labored before the word of God, and I've labored in the scriptures for over 50 years, and so that God could use me for such a time as this. And I tell you, I practice in my daily life. I put everything that I read and tell you is put to practice in my daily life. We need to come back to God, come back to the spotless, clean church, and from that, we can see according to Scripture. We're living in the last days. When we see how the church is looking now, you know, it's not clean, it's not spotless. So we can see that we're living in the last days, and we need to look back, you know, and come back, because our redemption is drawing near. All those fallen angels, when they led a revolt against God in heaven, you know, they're in chains awaiting judgment and the revenge against them. So do you think we're going to escape the revenge from God? That's why the day is called today. We have to repent for our sins and begin to walk according to the scriptures today, because tomorrow is not promised to us. We have to live today because tomorrow is not promised to us, saints of God. We have an enemy that don't want the gospel to be preached to its fullest extent. He wants us to hit and miss at teaching and preaching the word of God. And so many won't make it. That's what he's hoping for. But we need to remember that God said to Peter, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this." Satan cannot stop God's church, and pastors and teachers can't be stopped either. There is a remnant that's going to be saved. We can't be in that. We want to be in that number, that remnant that's going to be saved. Amen. Nevertheless, our job is to do the works that Jesus did, and then he said we can do greater works. Shall we do? Don't sit around waiting for the pastors to tell you everything. You will be responsible for your own soul salvation, and you have to work out your own soul salvation, the Bible says, with fear and tremble. The biggest portion of what God has called us to do has not been even done. It haven't even been taught yet. It's not even taught, let alone it haven't been done. The works of the kingdom of God has been done by Jesus and his disciples in the early church. What happened after those people went off the scene? We have had people like Smith Wigglesworth, Dan Hagen, Oral Roberts, William Seymour. In 1906, he was an African American minister, and this is what he did. In Los Angeles, California, the revival began April 6, 1906, and it continued, listen to this, until 1915. You know, and on the April of 1906, Reverend Seymour, seven of Reverend Seymour's men that was with him, they was waiting on God, and suddenly, as I read this, it says, and suddenly, as though hit by a bolt of lightning, they were knocked from their chairs on the floor, and they began to speak in other tongues. And I think a day or two later, Reverend Seymour received the Holy Spirit too, and he spoke in tongues. And they said people came and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was, you can read this, it says the Azusa Street Revival. The Azusa Street Revival. And down through the years, we have had men and women who have been used mightily by God. But we can't live in the past. We must continue in the ways of Jesus. and the disciples until Jesus come back. You know what I'm saying? It's time for us to go after the giants that are in our lives and the demons and the demonic spirits. It's time for us to go after them. Don't wait for them to come after us. It's time for us to unite as a church for the greatness of God. Not sit back teaching them about past glory. You know, God is not dead. Jesus is not dead. The Holy Spirit is waiting and ready to teach us and guide us and lead us, you know, and remind us of all the things that God has spoken to us so that we can wage war against the devil. We should be running after him, not hiding from him, and living in fear of the devil. The church should be so fired up with the Holy Ghost, with all that Jesus has given us, just like Paul was in the book of Acts. And I'm going to read a little bit of that to you in the book of Acts, what Paul did. And it's Acts 19 and 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were bought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. That's some power, saints of God. We have much to do to even get back to the point of these great servants of God, the disciples and Jesus. Acts 2 and 17 says, "And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." See, everybody, God is going to give everybody a chance to prophesy. So it's just senseless for people to say, "Oh, the prophets is done away with. There's no prophecy. There's no more spiritual gift." Well, if we're talking about the last days, and if God is talking and he says he's going to pour out his spirit on all these people, then who are you calling a lie? Saints of God, watch what you say. Watch what you believe. You know, just like God used Daniel and Joseph to interpret dreams, he's that same God, and he can use you. He can use you too, but you have to be willing. You have to be ready, you know, for the master's use. He can't use unholy folks. He can't use unclean, unholy vessels. People that are obedient, living, and keeping his commandments and his laws and all of his statutes, those are the people he can use. It's time for the church to come back to God by following the works, and the works that he called us to do. The works of Jesus in the red letters of the Bible. This is what we should be following, saints of God. We have to eat the whole loaf, not just a slice of the bread, amen, but the whole loaf. This is what we're required to do. This is what God has called us to do. If we want to walk in excellence before God and witness his miracle working power, we're going to have to straighten our lives up. Stop messing around and mingling with the world. Stay on our knees so that God will give us strength, knowledge, and understanding of how we must walk each day of our life and how we must rule and control the world fairly and justly according to his word. Satan's not in charge. The church is in charge. And we better begin to get busy right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.